Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there. A very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Frank the Tank Hickey taking you through a sensational weekend of racing. The ITV cameras are at Cheltenham for Saturday and Sunday. And they're also going to bring us some flat action from the all-weather at Lingfield on Saturday. We've got a Grade 1 in Ireland, the Morgiana Hurdle, and it's the twistiest, turniest horse race in the world, the Sussex National on Sunday, where they run round the figure of eight at Fontwell about 300 times. Loads to be getting stuck into. Then we're locked down, which is bad news, but if you've got the Masters and you've got some great racing on, it's not too bad, is it? So hopefully everyone's going to have a fantastic weekend, enjoying the racing, enjoying the golf, enjoying whatever other sport is on. And the boys will give you the best betting advice. We'll start with Cheltenham on Saturday, where ITV is showing four races, the first of which is the 140. It's the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. Novices Chase, a Grade 2 over 2 miles. Six runners should be pretty informative for all the big targets for the rest of the season. Frank Hickey, welcome along and bring us a show of betting, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. Fusil Raffles, 5-4. Eldorado Allen, 7-2. Kel Destan, 9-2. Zakareva, 8-1. Gumball, 10-1. And the Patriot is 11-1.
Okay, we know we're always going to get the well-informed Frank Hickey. We're going to get the upbeat David Jennings, but we're never quite sure what Graham Rodway we're going to get. Are we going to get the stumbling, slightly unsure G-Rod, or the strident, I really fancy it this week G-Rod? Which one is it?
It was going to be the really strident, know what I fancy this weekend, but I just had a text from someone saying that there's loads of rain forecast tomorrow, apparently, for Cheltenham just before racing. There's only like 10 mils forecast. And Simon Clayes apparently was on Racing TV not long ago saying that if the rain hits Cheltenham, then he expects it to be soft ground by the time we get started on Saturday afternoon. And that has really thrown my plans up in the air. But I've checked two different websites. One of them says we're going to get it before racing, and one of them says we're going to get it after racing. So there's a bit of a guessing game going on with the weather this weekend, Bruce.
Oh, OK. Well, what are you going to work on the basis of? It's good to soft rather than an absolute downpour?
Yeah, I would have thought that it's going to be probably good to soft on Saturday and soft ground on Sunday. But it's very difficult to know, particularly with Cheltenham, isn't it? Because it does dry out very quickly. It's not one of those tracks that gets bog-like too often, is it?
Indeed, and because of the topography of the area, it can often miss rain as well. OK, well, we'll work on that basis then, G-Rod. And in which case, who do you think will win the 140?
Well, I think if there's not loads of rain, then Fusil Raffles will win. You know, he's a very, very good horse on good ground, isn't he? And he looked good when he won first time up at Cheltenham over the course and distance. It's not an easy track for a novice, and I thought he went round there quite nicely. He's been a bit of a disappointing horse, no doubt about it. I think last season they were hoping he was going to develop into a champion hurdle contender. It never quite happened. He should win this if the ground stays good, but if it gets soft, he'll be in trouble because Eldorado Allen loves soft ground. But working on the assumption it'll be good to soft ground, I think Fusil Raffles will win.
Okay, Frank, what are you going to go with ground wise for the weekend?
Probably good soft and plates is what I'll be working off for tomorrow. I think it's a tricky enough little race. Like, you can make a case for most of them. Kel Destan, probably the best of these over hurdles, rated 155, has course winning form, but I'm going to stick with Eldorado Allen. Useful over hurdles. He peaked at a rate of 152 after he finished second at Sandown on his reappearance last year. It was a little bit disappointing in two subsequent runs. I really liked his reappearance at Newton Abbott, where he jumped really well until the last when he walked through it. But he beat Stormy Ireland, I thought, quite comprehensively, and I think particularly once it's a bit of dig on the ground, he should go well. The Twisted Dave or the Tisby Yard are starting to hit a bit of form there now as well, which is a positive.
Okay, DJ, how are you, my friend? You in good form?
I'm fantastic, Bruce. Yeah.
Looking forward to it?
I am. Yeah, I'm a massive Eldorado Allen fan, Bruce. He's in my 10 to follow. I backed him at 33s for the Arkell. This time last year, I actually did an anti-post column for the Racing Post, and I actually put Eldorado Allen up for the champion hurdle at 66-1. Now, obviously, that didn't go well because you know, he picked up an injury and stuff like that. But I thought to beat Stormy Ireland, yes, was beaten at Bangor during the week. But to beat Stormy Ireland in a tight 2 miles around Newton Abbott, when Colin Tizhard's horses were completely out of form, Eldorado Alan won when all of them were getting beaten, and he was good enough to win. I think he's an exceptional horse. The one worry I have, Bruce, is the track. My slight concern is that he could be a flat track horse. Last year in the county hurdle at Cheltenham, yes, Tizhard's horses were wrong, but he travelled well for a long way, didn't come down the hill, didn't come up the hill. That's in the back of my mind, but I think he has the potential to go right to the top over fences. So I'd be disappointed if Eldorado Alan is beaten.
Jolly good. Next up is the 2:15. It's the big race of the day, the Paddy Power Gold Cup. And it's great to have Paddy Power sponsoring again. It was always one of the days of the year. I think it might actually be the 10th anniversary of a colleague chucking a pint of lager over me after a particularly rowdy game of poker on the bus home. But anyway, less said about that, the better. More importantly, who's going to win it? It's a wide open race. Frank, give us a show of betting and then tell us who wins the Paddy Power Gold Cup.
Yeah, we're paying six places here too, Bruce. Simply the Bets, Mr. Fisher and Sane Sonnet are all 9-2. Al Dancer 15-2, Slatehouse 9-1, Happy Diva 10-1, along with Cyril Dulac 12-1, Spirit of the Games, and we're 14-1 Bar. Look, you can make a case for an awful lot of these. They all have some sort of chance. But I just thought Price is going to take a chance in Sky Pirate for John O'Neill. Look, he most certainly has question marks over his resolution. He's had 9 starts over fences. He's finished second 5 times. Twice he looked like he was coming with winning runs and fell as well. His mark of 134, though, has definitely worked, but he's had a wind up during the summer. And I thought he ran relatively well at Weatherby. Now, if there was a little bit to work on there, and this has been the plan all the way, then I think that was a very fair run at Weatherby then in those circumstances. But I was looking at John O'Neill's record in the race. He actually doesn't have that many runners, but he does seem to lay them out. He hasn't had a runner in the race since Tacken Desai won it in 2016. And he also won with John Spirit in 2013. And John Spirit was beaten ahead in 2014. I just think it's significant he's aimed at this. He could have probably gone for a softer enough race. He's got 10-2. I just think there's an awful lot to like about him. I'm not sure if he'll get the job done, but I'd be very disappointed if he doesn't place at least.
Well, now, that's interesting. My mate Jack, who's an avid podcast listener and thinks that you, Frank, and Paul Keighley are the two best judges in racing, he texted me last night and said he thinks Sky Pirate with 6 places. So he'll be delighted you agree. DJ, the one thing I know about this podcast is that you're going to tip Mr. Fisher here because you always do, don't you?
Yeah, Bruce, I'm obviously very predictable here. I do think at the bigger prices, I can see Sky Pirate running well. I didn't think he got home in the Kim Muir last year, but it was a really good run behind Annie Second now, or sorry, the year before in 2019. With Mr. Fisher, I think he could win the Ryanair. I think he's that good. So if that's the case, he'd want to be winning this off a mark of 155. I think with Mr. Fisher, when I watch him, he's a 6-year-old. But I think when he gets to 8, he's going to be a proper Gold Cup contender. He's just constantly starting to fill out. And when I watched the Marsh last year, you just watch him during the race and he pokes your eye out. He's a brilliant jumper. He travels well. He's a gorgeous looking horse. Like, he was beaten just over 4 lengths by Sam Crow, Mellon and Faheen. And he's running here off a mark of 155. He's a grade 1 horse running a handicap. I'd be really nervous before this race because my reputation is seriously on the line with this horse. But if he's not a grade 1 horse by the end of the season, I'd be really disappointed.
Why don't you have a proper bet, as they say? Let's see now. G-Rod, who do you fancy for the Paddy Power?
I quite fancy one at a price here, Bruce. Colto Rico, trained by Tom Gritton. This one will be around about 33s, I would have thought. And I don't really see why. He's got bits and pieces of form that suggest he could win this race. Beaten only 3/4 of a length by Top Notch in the Peterborough Chase last year. Bad terms against that horse. That was a massive run in a first-time tongue strap, first time out after 269 days off the track. So he goes very well fresh. He had previously ran very well behind Cyril Dulac, who also runs in this race, in the plate in 2019 when he was 8/22, staying on really strongly towards the finish. I just think that this horse has always had loads and loads of ability. He's not the most consistent, doesn't always show it. But I'm sure that first time out is the time to catch him. He's won twice fresh before, plus that excellent run behind Top Notch last season. If he can reproduce that sort of form, there's no way he should be 33-1. He loves soft ground. So if they do get the deluge before racing, that will increase my confidence even more on Quarto Rico.
Okay, Gerard, thank you very much. I think with six places, I'm going to have a little smash on good old Al Dance. So the 250 at Cheltenham is the Paddy Power Games Handicap Hurdle. It's a listed race over 3 miles. Frank, what's the latest betting here?
T-Clipper 5-2, Danny Dan 5-1. To be fair, Golden Fortune, Delarca, and the Bestie Man 8-1. And we are 12-1 bar.
The floor is all yours, David Jennings.
By this stage, Bruce, my Saturday will have either gone brilliantly or terribly. Mr. Fisher and Eldorado Allen are my big two for Saturday. On this race, no real strong opinion, but I do think the Bestie Man, given his run over 2.5 at Cheltenham last time off 1.22, like, he's only up £3. And I thought he stayed on quite well when he was switched up the home straight. So I think in an open race, I think he's a real each-way player. I think he'll definitely be placed. So I'll be maybe having a small stab each way on the Bestie Man.
What about you, G-Rod?
I fancy on the blind side. Now, this one has obviously been a bit of a disappointment, generally speaking, over fences, because he looked like he was going to develop into a top-class chaser, and it never quite happened for him. I don't think he was the most natural jumpers of fences. He seemed to lose his confidence there. Then they brought him back in a bumper at Newcastle last February, won quite nicely. I just have this image of him absolutely storming up the hill when I was at Cheltenham. It was 3 years ago now, over 2 mile, 5 furlong, looking like a real stout stayer. And I think that he'll be well suited by a return to hurdles, a strongly run race, over 3 miles at the track. Only problem, of course, he probably doesn't want loads and loads of rain. He does want better ground than certainly Quarto Rico would want. But yeah, for me, each way on the blind side.
Okay. Frank, before you give us your view on this one, just going back to the previous race, you're actually quite short on G-Rod's tip Quarto Rico, aren't you? You're only 20s and everyone else is 33s. Does that suggest that you agree with the great man?
I think we laid some shrewd money during the week. Maybe G-Rod was going and that's why we're 20-1. I definitely saw it going through the monitors early in the week, all right.
Jolly good. Who wins the 250, Frank?
I actually agree with G-Rod here. I think this market will change a fair bit this evening. Like, on the blind side, like, T-Clipper is obviously has the most progressive profile. He did win a point to point. He's never been beyond 2.5 miles under rules yet. So there is just that small question mark, particularly if the rain comes. But on the blind side, he was three from five over hurdles. He won a grade two here back in 2017, as G-Rod said, beating Mamelo, staying on really strongly. Hasn't run over hurdles since April 2019 when he was second at Kenton off a mark of 147. Like, if you go back to his reappearance run last season, it was at Ascot in a 3 mile chase off a mark of 149, and he was fourth behind Vindication, Regal Encore, and Black Corton. Now, his next start, he went off 8-1 the Ladbroke Trophy off the same mark. Now, he obviously disappointed there. He runs here off a mark of 145. And it doesn't look the deepest race. If for any reason T-Clipper doesn't, you know, see the trip out, I think Alan the Blind has got a right chance. Like, I'd be expecting him to go off half the price he is now, to be honest, come tomorrow.
Interesting. Okay, next up, we've got the 325 at Cheltenham. It's the intriguingly titled Paddy Power First Millionaire Qualifier Intermediate Handicap Hurdle. It's over 2 miles, 5 furlongs. But Frank, before we get the tips, I believe what this alludes to in the title is that Paddy Power are going to make someone a millionaire at the start of next year. Tell us more.
Yeah, very exciting initiative. So basically, this is the first qualifying race. So you just have to go on site and opt in to the draw. If you back the winner with a £5 or €5 bet or larger, you will enter the draw for the first qualifying race. The person picked out, there'll be six of them over the next 6 weeks. The person picked out will be assigned a horse in the sweepstakes final, which will be on the 1st of January. And whoever's horse wins on the 1st of January will win £1 million.
Fantastic. Excellent stuff. Right then, G-Rod, who wins the 325?
Yeah, What's Up With You? That's what I quite like here, for Ben Pauling. And this one was beaten behind Captain Tomcat last time out, who's back in this race. But go back, watch the race on the replays on the Racing Post website if you can. Yeah, very eye-catching run by What's Up With You. It's down on really, really strongly towards the finish. He only had four runs under rules, and that was a real competitive 19-runner handicap. The first time he would have ever been in a field that big. He's a former point-to-point winner. And I just think that he will benefit from that experience, What's Up With You. And if he does, he's got some improvement in him. He's so lightly raced, still unexposed. Yeah, he's my idea of the winner. What's Up With You?
Thanks very much, G-Rod. That's another one for the Derek Thompson commentary race, isn't it? That one, yeah. Frank, who do you fancy? Do you agree with G-Rod on this one as well?
Yeah. What's Up With You did catch the eye the last day. I'd be kind of, the more rain, the better for him. But I'd be very interested in him when he steps up to 3 miles. The one I just can't get away from here is Son of Camus for Nicky Henderson. Won a bumper here at the beginning, or won a bumper at Newbury last season, and then followed winning over hurdles in what looked a really strong race, beating King Roland, who's now rated 140, Trincomalee, who's rated 127, Ask for Glory, who's rated 138. He was only 4-1 when third behind Fiddler on the Roof and Jeremy Flame and the Tolworth, and then they pitched him into the Ballymore when a 50-1 shot and he was out and pulled up. Now he comes here back into a handicap off a mark of 133 winning up, and I'd be very surprised if he's not extremely well handicapped to take a fair bit of beating.
Righty ho. So we got What's Up With You for G-Rod. We've got Son of Camus for Frank. Who is David Jennings going to tip?
Oh, Son of Camus, Bruce. Very interesting, this horse. The one thing that Frank didn't allude to there was that he's had a wind operation, and I think that will help. Like the way he's been campaigned all along by Nicky Henderson as a proper grade one horse. Like to beat King Roland, as Frank said, who I think is a very good horse, he's rated 140, to beat him and then be thrown into the Tolworth where he started 4-1. You're talking about a horse that finished third in the Tolworth, was sent off a 4-1, that's run off a mark of 133. It wasn't the best Tolworth in the world. But then they, even after being beaten in that, they said, well, let's throw him into the Ballymore instead of, you know, going for a handicap off a mark of 133. He could be ridiculously well handicapped, and you're getting a great price to find out.
Okay, right then. The other race at Cheltenham is on ITV's The 355. It's the Carndean Design Flooring Mare's Standard Novice Handicap Race. Over just over 2 miles. And I tell you what, a filly who absolutely blew me away last time, L.A. Bell. She's favourite. How short is she, Frank?
She's 13-8. You can have her 7-2. Ishkara Lady 11-2, Alavina 10-1, all clinched up 11-1 along with Jersey Lady, and we're 16-1 bar.
Can this jolly get beat, Frank?
Yep, I think she can. She was impressed, but it was a very slowly won race at Aintree. I still have my reservations about how good a race it was, and the one I'm going to take her on with is You Can Have Her for Anthony Honeyball. This horse was trained initially by Adam West and was second in a really nice bumper at Huntsman Abbey. When beaten by a Honeyball horse, so I'm not going to pronounce the name because it can be a little bit dodgy. That horse went on to win a listed bumper on her next start, and I thought it was interesting. Honeyball went in and made sure that they got the horse into his stable. She made a reappearance at Fontwell then last month, winning by 20 lengths. Again, it probably wasn't the strongest race in the world, but she just looked relentless that day. And I just think she's a fair bit of value to turn over the Skelton horse. I think You Can Have Her pretty good. And while the Skelton one could be very good as well, I think at the prices, I'd take the chance that she could turn her over.
Okay, that's one person eroding my confidence. DJ?
Oh, this is a hell of a race. Really excited by this. These could be really, really good, a lot of these. And You Can Have Her, of course, is the mare that got your distance bet up, Bruce, isn't she?
Oh, that's right, yeah. At Fontwell.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm going for the outsider of the entire field here, Bruce. 20-1 shot, Colours of My Life for Alan King. Alan King won this race in 2018 with Glancing Queen in the same colours, and he won it in 2016 with Mike Calanisi. And he's just really good with these young mares. And this Colours of My Life ran in a really hot bumper at Newbury back in February. And while she was finished fifth, like she basically went through the whole pack and got to the front of furlong out and then just got tired in the closing stages. She was 16-1 and Alan King had a shorter price horse to finish third. But I thought it was a lovely run from Colours of My Life. His horses are absolutely bombing at the minute, Alan King. And 20-1, about a mare that obviously has a bit of an advantage in some of these and that she ran last season. She's obviously been in training since. He would have had a pick of quite a few for this race, given he's won the race twice and he's got a few good bumper mares. I think 20-1 about Colours of My Life is a huge price.
Very interesting indeed, DJ. Thank you very much. Graham Rodway, who do you think is going to win this?
Yeah, it's kind of a no-bet race for me, this one, Bruce, because there's no doubt about it. LA Belle was really knock Uriah impressive when she won at Aintree, and I was blown away by her as well. But there's just enough reasons to have reservations about her. Like Frank said, the time wasn't amazing, and there's loads of horses in here trained by trainers who do particularly well in mare's bumper races. Like, there's no doubt about Anthony Honeyball does brilliantly in these sorts of races. Harry Fry does. DJ's already said that Alan King does. And Lucy Wadham does all right in this sort of race as well. Although Dan Skelton has his fair share of winners in bumpers, I think he's really much better known for, obviously, hurdlers and chasers, whereas Honeyball would be much more, for me, a sort of bumper trainer. So, you know, I couldn't be taking LA Bell on, given how well she won last time, but at the same degree, I couldn't be backing her, so it's a no-bet race for me.
OK, Flat Fans, two listed races at Lingfield next.
This New Year's Day, Paddy Power want to make one lucky punter a millionaire. Opt in via the Paddy Power app and back a winner in the 3:25 at Cheltenham this Saturday to be in with a chance. Pick one winner, win 1 million. Not a bad way to ring in the new year. Well, it beats the Hootenanny and a dodgy curry anyway. To enter and to find out more, visit paddypower.com. Paddy Power. T's and C's apply. Minimum stake £5 win. Excludes shops. Selected markets only. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back then to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. We've done Cheltenham on Saturday. Let's do the other two races on the ITV card. They take place at Lingfield on the All Weather and they start with the 3:05. It's the Betway Churchill Stakes, a listed race, and it's also a fast track qualifier for the All Weather Championships, which of course we couldn't have last year, but which we're looking forward to next spring. And we've got a short price fav here, Frank.
Yeah, Dubai Warrior 4-7, Sinjari 7-2, Santo Japan 11-2, Pallavicino 8-1, and the Outsiders Golden Nips at 50-1.
DJ, penalty kick for the fav?
Yeah, I don't know, Bruce. I wouldn't back Dubai Warrior at that price. If you force me to have a bet, I'd chance Pallavicino, just because, like, I thought last time at Kempton he just didn't stay. It was a mile and a half. And he's just very keen. He's won over a mile and a half before, but I think he's better over a mile and two. Just think with Dubai Warrior, he's one of these horses who on his day can look an absolute superstar. And a couple of times he beat Courthouse, he did. But he's coming into the race on the back of a pretty disappointing effort at Sandown in July. Pallavicino, I thought, shaped quite promisingly at Kempton. There is officially £9 between them on ratings. So, you know, it's a massive leap of faith to think that Pallavicino could beat Dubai Warrior. But I just think if he settles early, Pallavicino, I think he's a little bit of value, but it would be a no-bet race for me.
You fancy anything, Graham?
Dubai Warrior should win, and Pallavicino, I thought, was the better value bet for second than Sinjari.
Okay, and Frank?
Yeah, Dubai Warrior should just win.
All right, then, let's move on to the 3:40, which looks more competitive. It's the Betway Golden Rose Stakes, another listed race. Over 6 furlongs, Frank, give us a show of betting, and then G Rod will tell us who wins.
Yeah, we're paying 4 places here. Good Effort 11-4, Judicial 4-1, On the Warpath 11-2, Jovial 6-1, Soldier's Minute and Sunday Star both 8-1, and we're 11-1 back.
G Rod, if all weather racing is your thing, this is pretty decent stuff, isn't it?
Yes, good race. And Good Effort should win. I was quite excited last night when I saw that Paddy Power were going 4-1, but that's quickly disappeared. It's into 11-4 now. He's got the best form in the race, at the track, over the course and distance, and it's improving. This looks like a good thing, don't it?
Okay, Good Effort for G-Rod. Who for Frank?
I think the same. He's obviously an all-weather horse on the up, and it's not a race I'm mad about, but if you had to put a gun to my head, I'd probably say Good Effort as well.
Okie dokes. No one is putting guns to anyone's head. If you don't fancy anything, you can always sit one out. Maybe have a look and pick up some clues for future punts. DJ, what's your view of this?
I don't fancy Good Effort at all. I think this is the best race he's contested in his whole career. I think this is a really, really strong race. And you look through, like, he beat Royal Bert last time. The race kind of fell apart and he had the run of it, really. I think there's a few viable alternatives here. And the one that I think sticks out at the prices is Judicial, who, yes, has drawn 9, but Judicial is the type of horse that likes to come wide anyway. And, you know, when he does swoop, he does swoop wide. And I don't think the draw is going to be too much of an inconvenience. He was 20-1 when he won the race last year, and he showed that blistering turn of foot. I don't think we've seen anything in the last few months that tells us that Judicial is any worse now than he was last year. He was impressive in the race last year. And I think this is going to take a great effort from Good Effort to win. So I'm going to go for Judicial.
Thank you very much. That's the TV action done and dusted. Let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. Don't give your naps away, but what do you think we should be backing, Graham?
I've got nothing.
Okay. DJ?
Cracking card at Punchestown, Bruce. 12:15 is the Mongi Communications Office Chase. Grade 2. I think Felix Dejay will beat Darver Star. I just think he'd go off out in front. I think he's a good jumper. I was impressed with him at Killarney.
I thought Darver Star looked brilliant on first time over the fences. That was excellent.
He was good and he jumped well. The form has been let down since Le Moussigny was a bit disappointing at Navan last week. So I just wonder what he beat. I think Felix Dejay is going to be a grade one chaser. So they're joint favourites roughly. So I just think Felix Dejay is better value. The 12:50 is the grade B handicap chase, which was due to be run at the festival in April, and they've saved a couple of races. And this is the ones they've saved. I think Tornado Flyer could be really well handicapped off mark of 150. He's incredibly unpredictable. You don't know what you're going to get from him, but he does fit into the Mr. Fisher March chase sort of form. He was fifth in the March chase, beaten 9 lengths by Sam Crow. He only went up a pound for running that. I think off 150, 2.5 miles around Punchestown is what Tornado Flyer needs. So I think if he gets into a good rhythm early, he's going to be hard to beat. And just one more for me, Bruce. In the 2 o'clock, it is a rated novice hurdle at Punchestown. Pure Genius gets in here off a mark of 120. I think they couldn't believe he didn't win a maiden hurdle last season. It's interesting that they're not running the maiden hurdle. They're running here. I think they're afraid they're going to bump into something in the maiden hurdle. Off 120 in this rated novice hurdle, where the highest rated horse, 126, he should, and I think he will be, a different level to these. Pure Genius, named after Rodders, in the 2 o'clock at Punchestown.
What have you got for us, Frank?
Yeah, I'm at Punchestown as well. Looks probably not going to be best. It's going to be a very sharp price. Be interested to see how Asterion Forlonge gets on over fences. Obviously, he's going to be kept to right-handed tracks, I'd imagine, this year, but he's got a right engine, and he could be one for all the big races like Punchestown Fairy House for this season. In the 12:55, I'd be with DJ, with Felix Deji. Darvis Star was good enough in his chase debut, but I just think Felix Deji is a nice horse. He was a grade one winner as a novice over her. 4-1 foul for the Galway hurdle this year. When he fell, he showed at Killarney he's didn't suffer any ill effects from that fall. He jumped really well. I think he made a mistake 4 out and wasn't perfect at the last. But in general, it wasn't too bad for a chasing debut. And I think, I could see him developing into it. Maybe not Cheltenham being his ideal track, but I wouldn't be surprised if he popped up and won a nice novice chase over 2 miles this year. And the 12:50, that chase that DJ was on about as well, I'd take a chance on Dunvegan. I imagine he'd probably be a double figure price. Has some decent form. He's won a Punchestown, won his bumper and beginner's chase here. Yet to run the handicap, funnily enough. He was only beaten over fences by 0-10 in cashback last season. I think a mark of 139 is enough for him. And he had a spin on the flat there recently in Turles, I think, which should even spot on.
Okay, thank you, chaps. Let's get the naps. And we'll start with David Jennings.
I'm actually very nervous about this, Bruce. Mr. Fisher, 2:15 at Cheltenham. I was actually on a good run with the nap. Sam Cook ran an absolute shocker last week. But I genuinely will, not for financial involvement or anything, but just because I think he's an exceptional racehorse, I'm going to be very nervous for Mr. Fisher runs in the 2:15 at Cheltenham.
Frank Hickey.
3:25 at Cheltenham, son of Camus.
And Graham.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope that we don't have a repeat of last week. Last week, I was actually singing Frank Sinatra's My Way as he went clear, coming to the second last. And if you were in my front room, a fly on the wall, you just would have laughed your head off as I slowly sat back into my chair and the tones of My Way drowned out as he suddenly went backwards and finished fourth. But anyway, this week we're going for 3:40 at Lingfield. Good effort. Okay.
Was it a bit like the legendary clip from the TV programme with Steve Palmer when he's in the betting shop singing This Will Not Be Beaten? And then I think he backed the two dog or something, didn't he? And it was leading all the way. And then just coming off the last bend, another dog just came and beat him. And he goes, This will not be... It's got beat. Anyway, never mind. Let's hope the Naps all win. Let's look at Sunday's racing next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway, and from Paddy Power, Frank Hickey. We've got some great racing again on Sunday. And good news this week, by the way, that ITV are increasing their commitment to bringing live racing to us. So that's absolutely fantastic. We've got four races from there on Sunday, as well as the Morgiana Hurdle from Punchestown. And we've got the Southern National at Fontwell Park, which is always a treat. Beautiful little track, that. The first of the ITV races on Sunday is the 150 at Cheltenham. It's the Planter at Chapel Stud. Handicap chase over 3 miles and 3 furlongs. If the suspected rain materialises, this is going to be a right old slog, some very familiar names. Give us a show of betting, Frank, and then tell us who you fancy.
West Approach, 3-1. Captain Drake, 9-2. Discorama, 5-1. Yala Enki, 11-2. 7-1, Cloth Clap. Ramza Toye and Big River, 8-1. And we're 14-1 bar. I'd be relatively keen on Discorama here. I think it's interesting what Paul Nolan brings over. He's a very good record at Cheltenham. He was second to Martin Pipe a couple of years back off 136. He was second, beaten half length in the National Hunt Chase behind LeBroy. And then he was third, beaten 2.5 lengths in the Ultimate last year off 148. He's only £2 higher here. He had a very solid reappearance at Galway when beaten a short head by Milan native, when conceding him £4. And I think he really deserves to get his head in front of one of these. I think the step up to 3 miles 3 is going to suit him as well here. And yeah, Discorama for me.
Who for you, David?
Oh, I'm going to drown in this Big River, Bruce.
Go on, Big River. That's yeah. It. You've got it. You've got the winner, mate.
he's just playing with me at the minute, so he is. He's just one of these horses that, you know, he just produces these runs and you say to yourself, that horse is some engine. Oh, my God. Like, his performance, if anybody gets a chance, just have a look at his performance. It was in the... Was it two years ago when he stayed on to be placed in the... he was fourth, actually, in the Ultima at Cheltenham in 2019. I have never, in all my time watching Cheltenham, apart from the horse that got up to win the Coral Cup with the jockey's whip was flying. What was it called? Can't remember. The horse that won the Coral Cup, a remarkable, came from, like, 12th jump in the last. Big Strand, that's it. Well done, Rodgers. Big Strand. Apart from Big Strand, I have never in all my life at Cheltenham seen a horse finish and pass as many horses as Big River did to finish fourth in the Ultima at Cheltenham back in 2019. Since then, he's had a wind operation. He's a bit in and out, but he's really well handicapped on the best of his form. And it's just whether he's on a going day. He was a close-up fifth in the Ultima again last year. He does like Cheltenham. He could be well handicapped. And he's one for probably in-running players because you'll know very early on if he wants it or not. So I'm just going to chance him once more. If not, I'm just going to drown. I'm going to forget about him if he doesn't show up here, Bruce.
Righty, I'm with you all the way there, DJ. Graham, who are you going to go for?
Yes, the Big River is a funny horse, isn't he? I remember highlighting him and tipping him for this race last year after that massively eye-catching run that DJ was talking about in the Ultima when he finished fourth. And he just, last year he just didn't fancy it at all. I mean, he was out the back early, jumping right, pulled up. It was a real moody old performance. And, you know, when I backed a horse like that and he runs like that, I can't give him any more chances. So not for me, Big River. West Approach would be the one for me. Now, he's another one who obviously has a few quirks himself. But I think he won this race last season. And I thought he ran a fantastic prep run for it at the last meeting at Cheltenham when he was beaten only a length and a half behind Frodon on ground that probably would have been quicker than he prefers. And Tizard's horses at the time were not really flying, but they're starting to hit form now. and he has a great record in November. And at this meeting, Colin Tizard, he usually has his horses really revved up. I think he's saddled more winners in the month of November than he has in any other month of the whole year. I think he'll have West Approach right to repeat last year's win.
Thank you, G Rod. Let's move on to the 225. And if it's quality you want, this is the race of the whole 3-day meeting. It's the Schlur Chase over 2 miles. Defi, one of the stars of the 2-mile division, but on the naughty step after his run in the Champion Chase last year. He's favourite here, Frank.
Yeah, he's 15-8. Ruse Vif and Put the Kettle On are both 11-4. Riders in the Storm, 7-1. Duke de Geneva at 10-1. And Forest Behan's the outsider at 33-1.
Fascinating to hear who the lads fancy here. I know DJ has got his massive stable of Cliff horses, one of whom is Forest Behan, but he surely isn't going to be tipping Forest Behan.
No. Forest Behan is not good enough here, Bruce. Look, I think this price is just going to keep going and going and going on Defi Desai, especially when the rain comes. Like, yes, the run at Cheltenham just stank. It just stank to me for every reason. Like, first of all, he should have been shorter than 2-5. I'm not saying anything went wrong or anything, but I couldn't understand why he went off 2-5. He's on form and everything we knew. He should have been 2-7, 2-9, and he was 2-5, given the Chacon and Altior were out of the race. I thought his three performances last year in this race at Sandon in the Tinkle Creek and on to the race at Ascot, the Clarence Hills, I thought there were three as good a 2-mile chase performances as you would see. I thought he was brilliant. I think the rain is coming time for him. Yes, Richard Johnson has taken over from Barry Geraghty, but if you were telling me now, and my neck was on the line and I had to find the winner of the 2021 Champion Chase, I would go for Defi Desai. So I think at the price he is now, Defi Desai, I think he should be 5-4.
Okay. It's a really interesting contest, isn't it, G-Rod? What's your angle on it?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic race. It's a tough race from a betting perspective, but I think I prefer Rouge Vif. Just on that impressive win last time at the course, albeit obviously in handicap company. Now, he's beaten 20 lengths by Put the Kettle On, who also is in this race in the Arkle last year. But they went a real sort of strong pace there. And I just thought that he stayed on really strongly at the line that day, even though he was beaten a mile by the front. So he was coming home very, very well. Defi obviously sets the standards, going to be hard to beat, but I'm not sure he got Richard Johnson instead of Barry Geraghty. Now, Johnson obviously rode Defi to victory a lot when he was a hurdler, but he's quite a sort of interesting ride, isn't he, Defi? You know, he has to be held up for that turn of foot, and I thought Barry Geraghty was absolutely superb on Defi, and I just think there's a bit of a negative that he is obviously not riding because he's retired, so Richard Johnson takes over. Really, you can make a case for Duke de Geneva as well, on his best form, but Rouge Vif was so impressive at Cheltenham last time. I think he might be the horse going forward.
Okay, and Frank, who's your selection?
Yeah, I think it's an intriguing race, and I think this market will change a fair bit as well between now and Saturday evening. The money during the week kind of suggested Def Desai might have been a non-runner, but I think that's when the ground was kind of on the good side. But now with the bit of rain forecast, he should get enough cut in the ground to run. He's going to go off short in 15-8, I've no doubt about it. I'll be surprised if he's going off, as DJ said, 5-4 or even shorter. I think Rouge Vip and Put the Kettle On and drift. I do think Defi Desai is the most likely winner, but at the same time, I just can't get away from Riders on the Storm. I just think he's very interesting, dropped to 2 miles. He obviously ran over 2 miles a fair bit when he was trained in Ireland, but he'd been kept to 2.5 miles since switching to Twisted Davis. Obviously, last year he progressed from winning a handicap at Aintree off a mark of 140 up to winning a grade one at Ascot when he beat Suriname. Fell at the Ryanair when still travelling okay, 3 out. Didn't jump that well that day though, which is unusual because normally his jumping's very good and even exuberant. I just think Put the Kettle On, bowl out in front. And I just think if he kind of get into a bit of a rhythm, get over the first couple okay, might just suit him. I think he's the danger to Defi Desai. I really do. I think he's a fascinating runner.
Interesting stuff. Can't wait for that And also can't wait for the 3 o'clock at Cheltenham, the Unibet Greatwood Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles and 87 yards. Always a tough one to try and suss. Let's see who the boys fancy after Frank's told us the latest betting.
Yeah, again, paying six places here, Bruce. Wide open, 5-1 Edward Stone, Prashima 11-2, Time White 13-2, Tegarek 8-1, Sebastopol, Hunter's Call 12-1, Ballyandy, Strong Glance, Thinking, Count Easter all 14-1, and we're 16-1 bar.
And Graham Rodway, you can go first. Who wins the Greatwood?
You're really quite excited about one in this. The boys might be able to help me. The Shunter, the bottom weight, carrying 10 stone, trained by Emmett Mullins. And Robbie Power is booked to ride. Now, Robbie Power, according to our website, has not ridden at any lower than 10 stone 4 in the last year. But yet he's booked to ride this horse off 10 stone. So whether he'll be carrying overweight or not, I don't know. But if, obviously he's going to be getting himself down right to one of his lowest weights to ride this. And it's 20-1. I can't understand why it's such a big price. When I saw it, I thought it was probably going to be about 11-2 favourite. The horse caught the eye of the Irish stewards 4 runs ago. I think the trainer was fined under the non-trials rule. But then it came out next time and won a maiden hurdle. At Downpatrick, as it liked, they absolutely smashed it next time to win at Punchestown, down to 11-10 favourite. It bolted up by 18 lengths in a chase, despite the fact that it didn't seem to jump that well at all. Like, not fluent fourth, mistake ninth, not fluent last, 18-length win. Now, I mean, that has got to tell you a heck of a lot about the ability that this horse must have if it can win by that far, despite not jumping very well. Now, last time out running a grade 3 chase, and that was obviously much stronger race than the previous one. And as I say, I don't think he's the most natural jumper of fences anyway. So it probably wasn't that bad a run to finish fourth of 11. But I mean, when he won that race at Punchdown, he got an RPR of 142. He's running off just 128 back over hurdles, right? So he got that RPR of 142, despite jumping terribly and winning by a mile. He got 142 when he's jumping terribly. He's running off 128 back over hurdles, so he should jump better back over hurdles. And according to Racing Post ratings, he's capable of at least a stone better form. I think it's a massive price. Just hope the ground doesn't go too soft, because it seems best on decent ground, the Shunter. But I'm amazed it's such a big price.
I think G-Rod's nose for us, a punt here, might be twitching in the right direction. DJ, I'm going to go to you. What do you make of the punt of the Shunter?
Yeah, he's owned by a good buddy of mine, Paul Byrne, who, of course, used to work with us. Look, the Shunter, I was texting Paul during the week and we were saying about the race. And I said, look, I don't think it's a good Greatwood. And I could definitely see him being placed. And he was entered at Punchestown as well. And He's ended up here, and I think it's the right call. A couple of things. I don't know how Graham could think he should be 92 favours. That's a bit bonkers. He probably is too big of a price. I could see him being placed. I could definitely see him being placed. The trip is a big worry. I don't know if he's enough natural speed for 2 miles, but I could definitely see him being placed. It's a good call by Graham, and he spotted one, and I definitely think he could run well. Like he's only rated 118 over hurdles in Ireland, but he's 128 in England. I'd imagine Robbie Power would be putting up a couple of pound overweight. But yes, I could definitely see him being placed. And I think he won't go off 20-1. But I don't think he's a 92 shot either. But I think he'd be placed. To me, this looks rather straightforward. I think Edward Stone is the best horse in the race. Alan King won the race for two of the last 3 years with Elgin and Harambee. With Edward Stone, I think it's simple. I think if he settles, he wins. He's got form tied in with really good novices from last season. Beat Fiddler on the Roof at Wincanton. Beat Harry Senior at Aintree. Trade, I think, 101 in running at Haydock when beaten. Finished sixth in the Supreme when nothing really went right. I think off 1-4-2, I think he's really well handicapped. There's 13-2 out there. I make Edward Stone about a 5-2, 11-4 shot, and I think he'll win.
And who's your fancy, Frank?
Yeah, but firstly, if the Shunter wins, I think Twitter will go into meltdown with replays of that run at Tipperary. But yeah, I thought I agree with DJ. Edward Stone is very much the most likely winner, but I thought there was one very interesting one. And my reason is that Main Fact was very prominent in the betting for this race for a while. And he's obviously a horse that has improved Hugely since transferring to David Pipe, and he's won 8 races in a row between hurdles and the flat. But I thought it was interesting they've taken him out and are relying just on thinking. This very light raised horse they've got from France only ran once over hurdles over there, won very easily. The horse that was second is with Dr. Richard Newlin now and is rated 124. Thinking's rated 132. If you think back there, a good few years ago, Pipe won this race with Delac and his first start from France as well. And the horse has had a wind up, first time tongue tie, very lightly raced. He might not have the experience for a test like this, but I did think it was very significant that they've left main fact out and are going with this. And at the prices, I'd have a few bob each way on him.
On Thinking. So we've got Thinking, we've got the Shunter, and we've got Edward Stone. Finally at Cheltenham on Sunday, 3:35, the Skybet Supreme Trial. A novice's hurdle over 2 miles. And Dan and Harry Skelton team up with the Fav here, Frank.
Yeah, he's 11-8, third time lucky. Corton Bold, 11-4. Fidelio Vallis, 3-1. For Pleasure, 9-1. Jungle Junction, 10-1. And 66 is better.
This will be an interesting race, Frank, in terms of clues for the rest of the season. Who do you think might win it?
Yeah, just looking at some of the handicap marks, and it's a bit strange. If For Pleasure is rated 144 and third time lucky is rated 129, and you're like, there's no way For Pleasure is a £15 better horse. I just think third time lucky is going to be very difficult to beat. Fidelio Vallis is a horse I liked, but I thought he was a bit disappointing at Kempton when beaten by Mrs. Hyde. Now, she did go and turn over Verdana Blue since, so maybe that form is better than we thought. But just this third time lucky, won 2 bumpers and ran a cracker when 4th in the champion bumper itself. Won very easily in 2 hurdles race that you talked around Weatherby. Look, the last day at Weatherby, he wasn't maybe as impressive as people would have liked him to be. But at the same time, I think he's huge ability. And if there's one horse in this race that's, you know, a proper contender for the Supreme, I think he's the one.
Okay, thank you, Frank. DJ, who do you like here?
Very simple, Bruce. Third time lucky, best horse in the race. Thought he would be odds on. He's odds against. Third time lucky.
And G-Rod.
No, I fancy Corton Bold for Fergal O'Brien. This one was beaten by the McFabulous at last time at Chepstow, albeit obviously thrashed by McFabulous, but I think we're looking at a proper horse in McFabulous. Corton Bold beat the rest soundly, and the horse that was third, one for the team, was running very well in quite a decent novice hurdle at Newbury next time when falling at the last. So I think that form is really the best here, Corton Bold, and he's not even the favourite.
Okay, let's move across to Punches Down. The 210 there is the Unibet Morgiana Hurdle, a grade one over 2 miles. 5 runners, lots of quality here, Frank. What's the latest betting?
Yeah, San Roy, it's 4-6. Abracadabra, 2-1. Super Sunday, 12-1. Course of Bleem, 16-1. And Jason the Militant is 20-1.
And DJ, who wins this?
Oh, I don't really know, Bruce. And that's the answer you didn't want. I don't know. I think San Roy obviously is the big buzz horse. He's a lot of money for him for the champion hurdle. Was brilliant in the county hurdle. He could do a rooster booster and win the county hurdle and go on to win the champion hurdle. I think he's very good. Do I think he's 4-6, 2-1 better than Abracadabras? I don't know. I think people have read too much into Abracadabras' run in the WKD hurdle. It was blatantly obvious he blew up. It was a moderate pace. The time was slow. And he didn't jump with his usual fluency. And I just think here, if they do go quicker, and there's a chance Super Sunday over 2 miles was poor last week at Navan. There's a chance that they might just pop Super Sunday out in front and just go like the clappers because he needs further. There's a chance that could happen. And if they do, I think that will really, really set it up for Abracadabras. I think at the moment, Abracadabras has a better chance of winning the champion hurdle than Santwa. All the shrewd judges fancy Santwa for the champion hurdle. All of them. I fancy, like, I know so many people that think he'd win the champion hurdle. I couldn't back him a 4-6 to beat Abracadabras, though. So, For that reason, I'm going to give Abracadabras another chance, but I think it's a race to watch, Bruce. Sorry.
Okay, that's absolutely fine. Graham, who do you like?
Yeah, it's fairly tough race because obviously there's no way St. Ra should be 4-6 to beat Abracadabras on what he's achieved and what they've both achieved. There's no doubt about it that Abracadabras has by far the better form, and Super Sunday's got better form as well than St. Ra. But of course, St. Ra has got loads and loads of potential, still very lightly raced, looks top class. and might well be the big improver. But that's a big might, isn't it, when you're taking a horse that's going to be fairly long odds on. So I'd much rather back Abacadabras at the price.
Thank you, G-Rod. And Frank?
Oh, I'd be very surprised if San Ra gets beaten, to be honest. I know you can say Abacadabra might improve for the run and might need a strong pace, but I just think San Ra, if you're looking for one for the champion hurdle, I'd be very keen on him. People are saying, oh, he only won the county hurdle off a mark of 137. You have to remember, Epitant won the Jury Fielding this time last year off a mark of 137. Like, he won that county hurdle on, I think, what was his fourth ever start over hurdles? And he absolutely bolted up, beating Aramon, who went on to win the Galway hurdle off top weight. Was it on his next run? Like, the form was really solid. At Tipperary, he just showed that he's a horse going places. I think he's the one I'd want to be on for the champion hurdle. Now, if I was having a bet in the champion hurdle, as I'm going to quickly mention, I'd be half interested in Mr. Coffey and what he did last week. I think he's one that could come from left field and become a champion hurdle contender, maybe, if he can keep progressing and keep settling. But yeah, San Roth for me, I think he's a very good horse, and I'd be very disappointed if he can't take care of Abacadabra.
Oh, by the way, talking to Mr. Coffey, I owe you thanks, because I was sitting there watching the racing, flicking away, and all of a sudden I heard someone say, oh, Mr. Coffey, and I thought, oh, I must back this thing. Frank was spraying that one up. So many thanks. That was an incredible victory, that wasn't it? Let's go across to Fontwell.
Whoa. Frank, excuse me. Did I not? I've obviously tip it up as well.
Oh, I don't remember that, DJ. No, I do. It was a double endorsement. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. It was a great shout. Do you agree with Frank, DJ, that might just be able to enter the fringes of the champion hurdle?
Yeah, Frank actually texted me straight after the race and he said, what do you think of Mr. Coffey for the champion hurdle? And I adore the horse, but I think he is your 2022 Arkle winner written all over him. He even looks like Sprinter Sacker, a big long neck at him. I just think he's chasing written all over him. And I just wonder what champion hurdle, would things happen a bit too quickly for him. But I can't wait to back him to win the 2022 Arkham.
Okay. Right. 3:15 Fontmore. The Paddy Power Southern National handicap chase over 3 miles, 3 furlongs. That's about 4 laps of this very quirky figure of eight course. 7 runners. And how do Paddy Power bet, Frank?
Yeah, Christmas in April is 9-4. Cloudy Glen, 3-1. Doing fine, 4-1. Diablo de Sivilla, 5-1, Gangster 8-1, and we're 12-1 bar.
I tell you what, the way we're going with this virus, you wouldn't rule out Christmas in April. DJ, can Christmas in April justify favouritism?
That was very good, Bruce. Very good.
Thank you.
I have to say, and that was obviously spur of the moment as well. So
it
well,
certainly was.
Look, Bruce, I went through about 40 races and I came to this one and I was like, oh, Fontwell, 3:15 Sunday. A lot will have happened Sunday at Fontwell. And, you know, El Dorado Allen could be 200-1 for the Arkle. Mr. Fisher could have absolutely blot his copybook. If I was pushed, and I won't be, I'd go for Diablo de Sivilla, who's had a wind operation for Gary Moore and Joshua Moore. Just think, could potentially be a plunge horse, but if I'm in profit come 3:15 on Sunday, I'll be more than happy.
Jolly good. G-Rod, have you had a good chance to suss this one?
Yeah, it's one of the old favourites. The boys will know him well. Gangster. Now he's a bit of a character, but I think this will suit him, you know, going round and round and round and twisty turny around Fontwell, because he's a funny, you don't always fancy it. You've got to keep him interested, you know, so this might well suit him. They've got bits and pieces of form, even recently for Warren Greatrex in Britain that suggest he's quite well handicapped. I mean, the win at Musselburgh last season on soft ground, we stayed on really strongly. I thought that was decent form, and he's got pretty much the best conditional in Britain, certainly the best conditional for £5. I mean, Jack Tudor is an absolutely fantastic talent, and his £5 claim is a gift. I mean, that ride he gave that horse last week at Sandown, you know, the one that always wins there, I can't remember it now, but that was superb. I fancy Gangster.
Okay, if you've been to Fontwell, G-Rod, you would have done, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I've been to Fontwell, yeah, many times. Nice little track. Always seems to be really heavy ground, though.
Yeah, I tell you what, of all the things, when I think about missing racing and missing going racing, obviously I miss the big days as well, but I really miss a Monday afternoon in the winter at Plumpton or Fontwell. It's a superb little track, it really is, and I'm glad they've got their moment in the sun on ITV. Frank, did you have a good look at this?
Yeah, I didn't really like the race. Like, the only interesting thing is, do I care less about that race compared to the Linkfield All Weather card? And yeah, they both.
How'd you bet? It's a dead heat, is it?
Both the same. total number of care, zero.
Yeah, fair enough. Is there anything else anyone wants to put up on Sunday before we're done? G-Rod, anything?
No, I've got nothing else.
Frank?
Yeah, I just give a mention in the 12:05 at Punchestown, 2.6 handicap chase. Shabby Artist, second in his last two starts. He was second in the Mayo National off Mark 124 behind Dr. Duffy. That was a fair run. Went up £2 for that. Was second, now beaten 13 lengths though by Discordney of Galway. Discordney ran an absolute cracking race in the Tri-Town. Made a bad mistake, two out. I think he wouldn't have won, obviously, with the jam man, but I think he might have finished third off a £10 higher mark. And Shabby Artist gets to run off the same mark of 126. And I'd be hopeful he'd go close.
What about you, DJ?
I'm taking Frank on in that race. I'm going to go for Mythbuster for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore. Has some form tied in with grade one horses, running off a mark of 137. I think he could be very well handicapped. Mythbuster in the 12:05 at Punchestown.
Right then, before we go, chaps, I'm sure you've all had a bet in the golf. So just to cover yourselves in glory, who's going to win at Augusta this weekend? G-Rod. G-Rod's, where is he? G-Rod? He's gone. I can't believe it. That's what he's like. Oh, here he is. He's back.
Sorry, I meant to... is the microphone muted now or not?
No, you're right. Can you hear
me? Yeah, I meant to hit the microphone muted button and actually switch it all off.
Oh, no. Oh, well, you're back. Who wins
the
Masters?
Well, you asking about the goal?
Yes.
I never back him. I back Rory McIlroy, and he's just playing like he always does. You know, a really slow start, and he'll probably rattle home to finish 11th, and I've got 10 places.
Oh, blimey. DJ, you'll have had a bet on it.
Yeah, Adam Scott. Happy enough.
He's going all right, isn't he?
Yeah. I love Adam Scott, but I hate that he puts with the flag in. But I think he's got a massive chance. He's 4-10 at the moment. So.
And what about you, Frank?
I actually haven't had a bet. I think it's the first time in a long time I haven't had a bet in the Masters. But everyone I know is on Bryson DeChambeau. So.
I went massive on DeChambeau, and after three holes yesterday, I had my head in my hands. He was knocking it around all over the place. I mean, he was finding parts of the course that they don't even own at Augusta. It was absolutely ridiculous, but he managed to steady it. It should be a fantastic weekend. So international football weekends are pretty dull generally, but we've got this brilliant doubleheader from Cheltenham on ITV Saturday and Sunday. We got the golf as well. So I hope you all have a fantastic punting weekend. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. Bet responsibly. Join us on Monday when we will be reviewing the action. And then we're back next Friday for another great Racing Post weekend postcast.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org.